This is BSD.
Advances in data and technology have changed how people consume media and what they expect from brands. So, how should marketers respond? I'm Pollyanna Ward, and in this series, I explore how the function of marketing is shifting, identify the roles that will dominate teams in the future, and explain how to start developing these capabilities today. This is the Shift Sessions. Commerce is changing. Behavioural shifts during the pandemic pushed more people online, and e-commerce saw 10 years of growth in 10 months. To catch up, companies digitised 20 to 25 times faster in 2021 than the year before. And the fight to win consumers online and in the real world is now fiercer than ever. But what can brands do to get commerce right? Is there a one-size-fits-all approach? And how will commerce change in the future? To find out, I spoke with Steve Mader, Global Head of Commerce at PhD Global Business, to explore how commerce channels are evolving, unpack how to navigate common challenges, and discover how marketers can start developing advanced commerce capabilities in their teams. To kick off, though, I asked Steve a question that has an increasingly nuanced answer. What does commerce mean today?
It's a great question, especially coming from a media lens, right? Because every brand, every client is on their own journey. Some are very media led, so e-commerce could be driven out of the performance media side of the business. For some other businesses and some other brands, it may be very commercially led. So it's 100% led out of the commercial function, and they have to beg, borrow, and steal some media budget to help amplify and help grow and help drive awareness for the products on commercial platforms. So when we think commerce, we have to be very specific that it is not just one team's job. It's not just the Amazon team. It's not just the media team. It is a whole company initiative that the entire company has to get around, because you can build amazing product detail pages. You can build amazing consumer experiences. But if you're not in stock, that's a challenge. So it has to be supply chain, inventory management, profitability, customer marketing, all the way through the way that we build portfolio and build assortment and build new products. So it's an entire company initiative.
That's great to hear. I quite liked the sort of splitting there that might happen historically between commercial or is it media's job? And I think that kind of leads me on to my next question. You know, there might be marketers listening today who think that their approach to commerce or buying and selling is already in good shape. So why is it important that they need to keep commerce at the top of their priority list?
I don't want to say it has to be at the top of the priority list, because it sounds like, oh yeah, we must do all of the Amazon things and all of the e-grocery things. And that is not always the case. Sometimes it's an amazing growth vehicle. Sometimes it may not be right for that specific product or that specific niche, for example. So what we do have to help marketers keep in mind is that regardless if you're going to market through commerce and that's a source of your growth, it's going to be an impact on the way that your shoppers are perceiving the category, the way that shoppers are participating in discovery of new brands within that category. And it's going to change the way that you have to think about budget allocation and the way that you integrate objectives into the campaign brief that you provide, you know, your partners like PhD. So it's incredibly important that we think all the way through the funnel, and that's just not media funnel, that includes customer marketing, trade marketing, and product portfolio. So thinking about which of my SKUs do I want to drive through Amazon, through eBay, through e-grocery channels like Tesco or Walmart or Instacart, because not every SKU is created equal. There are some SKUs which will perform better in e-commerce channels, and we need to be flexible as marketeers in order to find the right SKU, the right product to the right mission or occasion that shoppers are trying to accomplish.
I think you've touched on a few different things there around all the different things that they need to think about, definitely not just one. I suppose when marketers are kind of thinking about all of these different areas, then what sort of challenges are they facing right now that you've experienced or seen when it comes to this?
Other than, oh my gosh, I have to cut all of my budgets because the world is on fire at the moment. Let's ignore that, because that is a transitory. You know, don't shoot me when that comes back to bite me later. And it's not just on the media and the marketers side, absolutely not. But there needs to be a fundamental, say, horizontal and integrated and other buzzwords approach to the way that we think about connections planning, media budget setting, investment planning, and just end-to-end campaign strategy. And that has to be based in sales and marketing teams coming together, learning and development, academy programs, secondments where the media team works with Amazon and the commercial teams build brand campaigns. And we need to get in and under the skin of how each other's roles function, because as soon as we do that, we'll know where the gaps are and how we can help scale. That has to be part of the DNA of how brands grow going forward.
Quite like that there that you mentioned around, I think we see this across not just when it comes to commerce, but probably in other areas as well, that there's sort of a silo between the sales team and the marketing team. If we were to take maybe that challenge or some of the others that you just mentioned, how are you solving those challenges for your clients?
It's a great question, because it's one of the reasons why I honestly joined PhD. It's my first media agency, which has been really fun and exciting. I've been here for a year, which is a long and short time as well. So I think it's really, really crucial that we focus not only on building incredible, profitable growth in partnership together as media agency and commercial and media marketing teams, but it's not just one way. It can't just be, hey, we built a campaign. It's amazing. Here's a product portfolio. Go and efficiently sell it as much as we possibly can. It's going to be great. Without realizing that along the way, it's actually pretty easy to grow through e-commerce channels. Money goes in, money comes out. It's difficult to grow profitably through e-commerce channels. So that's where the exciting piece comes in. Because on the one hand, growth through e-com, great. But then it's rewiring the business. Where has that friction been created? Has it been in portfolio planning? Do we have a competitive price issue in some markets? Do we have an assortment segmentation challenge? Are we targeting the right audiences? Do we need to reallocate budget in the right moment in time? So what ends up happening is, well, yes, you're growing through commerce. You're identifying where those friction points are. And what we're doing is we're helping our core clients and our global clients, you know, fix and rewire their business to be more efficient and effective at growing through those channels.
Time for a quick break. We'll be right back with the Shift Sessions right after this.
Today, creating a media campaign requires a diverse range of experts from different organizations and different locations. Providing a shared online environment where they can build a campaign is now a necessity. Omni Studio brings everyone together into one campaign planning platform. Marketers can explore existing media campaigns, create new ones, and collaborate in their development. Change how you plan your marketing with Omni Studio from PhD Media, the only collaborative campaign planning platform of its kind. Omni Studio, creating remarkable campaigns, creating remarkable growth. Check out phdmedia.com to find out more.
I'm Pollyanna Ward, and you're listening to The Shift Sessions, the PhD podcast that examines the future skills and capabilities all marketers will need to understand to thrive. In the second half of this episode, we hear more from Steve Mader, PhD's Global Head of E-commerce, about what to consider when launching an e-commerce strategy, who's doing it well, and the benefits of buy now, pay later structures. But first, here's Steve's take on how to get started.
So number one is going to be make a best friend in sales. Take a salesperson out for coffee and understand what are they currently struggling with. Is it a cost price increase that they're trying to push through? And then step two, it's to realize that from a shopper discovery consumer experience point of view, e-commerce channels are your new pack. It's your new back of pack. It's your new brand experience. It's the wiki of products, just the cliche term. So realize that how your brand shows up on commerce channels, whether it's a product detail page, a brand store on an Amazon or an e-grocer, or just the assortment that you are curating based on a search term, that is essentially going to be a new barometer of your brand equity. So understand what that looks like so that you can ensure that it is communicating the right narrative to that audience in the way that you originally intended. And only after that do you start trying to drive traffic and start building those full funnel campaigns around, you know, capturing existing demand, trying to curate the assortment in the right way based on missions and occasions and keywords, and then ultimately top of funnel awareness driving. Only when you get the foundations right do you then start doing the sexy stuff.
I think it's kind of like once you've got your house in order, isn't it? Things like your taxonomy and even like getting your product descriptions. I think my favorite example is there are some brands out there who have a humorous tone of voice who seem to have been able to sort of infiltrate product pages on retailers to make sure that their brand tone of voice is also in the description as well, because you sort of lose that control that you might have if it's on your own media. So there's loads of really great opportunities that you've just, what's the one watch out that marketers should be wary of?
The one watch out. So can I say there's one, but there's two elements to it. Can I be cheeky and do it that way?
Of course. Yeah.
Okay. So I would say realize that, especially in the current economic climate, being hyper-focused on how we drive incremental profitable growth, both at a product level, category level, customer account level, and ultimately market brand level, is going to be an incredibly important capability to have going forward. So that manifests itself in two ways at the moment. One is being very deliberate about where we invest our money in driving, you know, better differentiated experiences through retail media platforms, because every retailer in the world is launching a retail media platform because it is the new hotness. It is the sexiest thing in the world. They want to gobble up all of the TV and Google and Facebook money so they can call it their own. Great. And we'll help you do that in the most effective and efficient way possible as PhD. Of course we will. But realize that they have to give something back, right? If you're going to invest all of that money, they have to provide accurate data, campaign tracking. You have to make sure that you're connecting that to the sales department. So that's not just a media divide and conquer. Give us some money. We won't let you talk to the sales teams. We're going to let you double dip. Be very focused on that. And then the second element of the question on profitability is realize that there are just some SKUs or ASINs in Amazon language that are just not going to be profitable through e-commerce channels. And being very deliberate as marketers and media teams and realizing, you know, you may want to grow X brand or X product or X portfolio in a certain market, but the commercial team may actually say, if you grow that, it's going to be margin dilutive and it will lose me money. So being very careful about which SKUs you choose to drive through commerce channels will be increasingly important going forward as well.
Are there any sort of industries perhaps that you think might not be as profitable? Are there any that you've sort of seen or could call upon that might fall into that category?
I wouldn't say it's a specific category. I would say there's, and this is not an e-commerce challenge in and of itself, I would say those categories or brands which operate in overly commoditized, own label, private label driven markets, ultimately are going to be squeezed from a margin point of view. And as increasingly more brands are operating in e-commerce platforms and CPCs and costs of operating within retail media networks continue to increase as well. Ultimately, there's going to be some categories unprofitable, either from the price point, commodity pricing, or private label penetration. That's always going to be a bit of a challenge. But there will be new unique ways to drive category value. So bundling, innovation, the stuff that as a core our business are incredibly good at around trying to drive category innovation, that's going to be another incredibly important capability to have going forward.
I think the bundling one's definitely something that we probably all experienced during the pandemic, seeing products sort of partner up together and doing kits and things. It's a little bit of a curveball question, but I sort of noticed that you'd mentioned this in a LinkedIn post a while ago, but what is your view on buy now, pay later when it comes to e-commerce? Because I think we're seeing Apple a few months ago sort of mentioned that was going to be an offering that they'd offer in their phones. If you're using Apple Pay, they'll pay the cost and you can then just pay Apple. But obviously we're seeing it coming through with quite a few different players now in the game. Is that something that you could share any insight on?
So there's a couple of things. One is retail finance is nothing new. This is just the e-commerce, digital evolution, retail finance. Talk to any department store, furniture store from the 70s and 80s. The first credit cards are essentially store retail credit cards. That's where it came from. So it's nothing new from an economic model point of view. This is just next evolution of it. So that's one. I'd say two, it's what shoppers are demanding, whether or not that's for cash flow, personal finance reasons. We'll leave that off to the side around the consumer kind of efficacy of it, you could say. But we are seeing retailers and brands start to offer additional choice around this, because some consumers and shoppers, they want to have the option of paying in that way. So we may as well. So that's this too. Third one is you get some data tracking from this as a retailer and a brand, which is always great to have additional behavioral insights. And then third is cash flow. So some of these T's and C's of these buy now, pay later companies will essentially give you cash up front as the retailer. They'll pay you in advance from a payment term point of view faster than what you get from the traditional payment processes for credit cards. And that, from a cash flow point of view, for retailers is incredibly important for how they grow, because they have so much money tied up in inventory. If they can speed that up in any way, it helps them grow and it makes them a little bit of a healthier business. And that is an interesting business model that I don't think is necessarily understood as well as it should be.
I was not even aware on that last point that actually, yeah, it might just help them get paid a little bit faster. So that's really interesting. So thank you. I know I put you on the spot there. But so we're almost at the end, but I kind of wanted to know if you thought there were any companies that are doing commerce well that you could share.
I will always appreciate, you know, companies like an Allbirds, for example, which is, they're not going to do sexy, innovative, metaversey things, because they're going to operate as, I got my core assortment, I have my core portfolio of SKUs, I know what my niche is, I'm going to be very methodical and very hyper diligent about how I expand that portfolio and how I communicate that through the different channels that I operate with them. I think they do a very good job, and they've been layering in physical retail and then layering in shop and shop wholesale as they need to as well. So it's a very consistent but very good consumer experience and how they've done that. We'll always talk about Nike and what they've been doing. I think they have done a good job on distribution. I think they've done a great job from a experience point of view. They've done a great job around hype, clearly, and they are dabbling in metaverse NFT things in an interesting and appropriate way around acquisitions and building it out that way. So if they're going to experiment with the new stuff, let's go all in with the new stuff rather than kind of just being a little bit timid. So that I appreciate a lot. And then finally, I can't help myself. I used to work at Lego, and I think they still do an absolutely amazing job, both from a flagship store point of view, a D2C point of view, a wholesale point of view. They do an absolutely incredible job at building an amazing consumer experience for kids and the shoppers that help those kids, you know, have a different type of play experience.
I'd have to say Lego is probably up there as well as one of my favorite sort of case studies when it comes to D2C. So I think we've got time for one more question. But if you had to, you know, if marketers listening today took nothing of what you said apart from this one thing, what would you want them to take away?
Good question. Because I've talked about so many different things I would love marketers to do. I've totally done that under the guise of help the sales teams out, because they love some marketer support. I'm going to do something completely different than you normally think. I'm going to say, hey, you know what you should do? You should go work in a store for a little bit. You should, if you have a D2C store, go ask the store manager if you can go work in the store for a bit. If you work with a wholesale partner, go ask the commercial team if you can go do planogramming inside of the grocer or inside of the department store for a couple of days. And I bet you would learn a lot about how shoppers actually navigate the category.
I love that. A good bit of ethnography mixed with hands-on experience, on-the-job experience. Thank you so much for sharing so many incredible nuggets there for all of our listeners. And I hope that you have a great rest of your day.
Oh, thank you. It's been a pleasure. We'll talk soon.
In the digital age, consumer shopping habits will continue to evolve as new technologies and platforms change how we interact with brands. change how we discover their products, and ultimately change how we spend our money. From D2C stores and mobile wallets to shoppable social posts and one-click payments, the path to purchase has never been shorter, and the opportunities for brand marketers, therefore, have never been greater. Provided, that is, that they are happy to start developing their skills as commerce experts, comfortable with creating full-funnel commerce strategies, advising on investment planning, and even managing their own product portfolios. That might blur the lines between marketing and sales, but as Steve Mader advised in our chat, that's something we're going to have to get used to as the business of commerce becomes everyone's business. I'm Pollyanna Ward, and thanks for listening. Join us again next time on The Shift Sessions.